Thank you, Shekinah. I appreciate that. Aren't you glad he knows your name?
Amen.
By the way, he doesn't just know your name. He knows the hairs on your head.
Right.
He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And he loves you.
Amen.
That's a great thing. When someone loves you, that's a wonderful thing. And Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I appreciate what your pastor said a minute ago. Are you on Twitter by any chance? That's very interesting. You know what I put on Twitter last night? I said, the world has lots and lots of questions. Jesus is still the answer. It's exactly what I put last night. We were thinking the same thing. That's usually good. And I know what most of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, man, we've had a lot of singing. We've sung. We've heard a lot of singing. And you're just getting up to preach. It's 20 after 11. I know what you're thinking. But I will tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told all eight of her husbands. I won't keep you long, okay? Thank you for the laugh. Thank you for the courtesy laugh for the college students. They've heard that one a few times before. I was talking to a pastor at Lake last night. I especially prayed for him with his health. I appreciate pastor and his wife. They've been an encouragement to me. We've been here a number of times, and I don't know when I'll come back through this. Pastor wants me in the West Coast next year, and maybe the following year. But you know what, folks? Can I say this? I believe the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And someone said, thankful for the big crowd today. And this is larger than the normal Baptist church. The average independent Baptist church runs about 136 people. You guys average over 200 people. But you know what, folks? God wants His church to have fruit. I have commanded you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God wants His church to grow. God wants His church to go forward. God wants His church to be on the offensive. That's why the Word of God says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Gates are defensive. The church is on the offensive.
That's right.
Will you help your church to go forward? I want to share something with you this morning, how to help your church and your pastor to go on to victory. I don't know about you, but I don't like to lose.
Amen.
I know your pastor is an Ohio State Buckeye fan.
Right.
And they have won more than their share of games. Could you imagine being a fan for a team like, I don't know,
Cleveland Browns?
Their last championship was the days of Jim Brown, I believe, right? But how about those Cavaliers this year, right? All right. I had mixed emotions. Steph Curry has had a good testimony until he got kicked out of one game. They kind of blew it. People are watching. So I was kind of cheering for him. They're in California. But I was also cheering for Cleveland. I'll tell you why. Someone gave me a bunch of basketball cards of LeBron to sell for the ministry. And they're his high school cards, all his freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year. And they sell for like $500,000. And I've got 16 sets of them.
Wow.
And it's going into the ministry. In fact, the guy said, one's going to have my kids make another CD with it. I'm excited about it. So I was kind of had mixed emotions. And I've got a lot of friends. My assistant is from Ashtabula, Ohio. And he is a Cleveland fanatic, like someone we know here. So, but can I say this? When LeBron won the MVP, and the Cavaliers finally won a championship, and he fell to the ground in emotion, I believe, weeping real tears. And I will always respect him for going back and trying to win a title for his hometown. I really will. But can I tell you what the angels up in heaven did? They were like this.
Yeah, you're right.
But when one little child gets saved, the Bible says there's great rejoicing in heaven. And I'm a sports fan like your pastor. I really am. I was writing postcards last night. And I was going over my message last night. At the same time, I didn't watch the end of the game because it went to 12 innings. But I was watching the Dodger game on my phone. They were heading 1-0 in the ninth and the reliever blew it. And they lost in 12. So I'm a sports fan. But I've learned that I want to be more focused on that which is eternal than that which is temporal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and dust don't corrupt, where thieves can't break in and steal. So how is it that you and I will help your pastor and your church to go on to victory? Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus. Exodus chapter number 17. This is a passage that speaks to my heart and has helped me, and I hope it will be helped to you as well. Exodus chapter 17, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus 17, beginning in verse number 9, we will read down to verse number 15. And the Bible says this, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray you'll be with us now in these next minutes. I acknowledge publicly that I need your help. And Lord, I've already prayed today asking for your help. We know that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, for the Father of lights, who was no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James chapter 1. We know that in and of ourself there dwells no good thing. We know the arm of flesh will fail us, but you never fail us. You're always there. And Lord, I pray that this message this morning will be a help, a challenge, and maybe even a provoking to good people in a good church. But Lord, I pray that they'll have a heart to do more. Matthew chapter 5, what do ye more than others? I pray they'll say, you know, we have a good church, but I wonder what God would have this church to become. Who God would have this church to reach. And what type of a lighthouse should this church be in Latrobe, Pennsylvania? Lord, I pray you'll work. And Lord, if there's someone here today who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day when they come to know you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's no fun being a part of a losing team. I don't want to say this mean or demeaning, but I've been in some churches this summer, as have these young people, that it would be hard for me to be a part of. I think even dear man, he's still faithful. I taught him in college years ago, and he's been through some difficult times. His church average is 15. They have no piano player. They have a beautiful baby grand piano. They so enjoyed hearing Zach play. They advertised that we would be there, that West Coast was coming, I'd be speaking. And that night they had about 80 or 90 people. His wife said at least five times, "It's so good to see the church full." Now, he might have somewhat of an excuse. He's had four strokes. He gets around in a power wheelchair. He's got one on each level of his church. He can't go out soul winning. But we can. We can work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can help the church go on to victory, to accomplish something for him. I spent a couple hours last night writing postcards to my Sunday school class, and I've got about 120 or 130 in my class. And as I was writing them, some of them were very special to me. You say, why is that, Dr. R? Because I led them to the Lord. They're my sons in the faith. Can I ask you, who in this church is especially special to you? Maybe you led them to Christ. Or maybe you invited them to church and they heard pastor preach and they came forward and trusted Christ as their Savior. You say, well, I don't have anyone like that. I grew up in a preacher's home. I worked at two mega ministries until the age of 40. Really, I said the same thing. Pastor Chapel asked me, he said, how is your fruit? And I had to ultimately say, not too good. And to my shame, ladies and gentlemen, if I were to take you back to Crown Point, Indiana, and Hammond, Indiana, and Powell, Tennessee, And you were to say, introduce me to someone you led to Christ. To my shame, I must tell you, I don't know anyone in either church I led to Christ. These things ought not so to be. A good tree brings forth good fruit. There's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Could you imagine if everyone in here just had the fruit of one person this next year?
Amen.
What would happen to this church? And you may say, Dr. Rasmussen, I can't do that. But I say you can. Because God's Word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say, well, I just can't talk to people. But I say you can. Because if I were to tell you that I were a descendant of Steve Jobs of Apple computer fame, and he left me $1 billion, I want to assure you right away he did not, and I'm not a relative. But if he left me $1 billion, man, I would help a lot of missionaries. I'd want to buy a church building for my son-in-law and daughter in Thailand. I'd want to help pay off all the debt for Lancaster Baptist Church that we still have. And help some other friends as well. But you know what else I'd like to do? I'd like to go to every church I preach in, probably, I don't know, 80, 90 churches a year, and say, every one of you that will have a first-time adult visitor in the next month, I'm going to give you $10,000. I bet everybody can have a visitor. Isn't it interesting what we do for money that we won't do for Jesus? So how will we help the church go on to victory? Number one, we see here in this passage, this is interesting. Verse 10, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We've got to set out for the top. We've got to start climbing. And it's harder going up than it is going down. I have a book in my suitcase right now called Eiger Dreams, written by John Krakauer. Krakauer is a great alpinist, but he's also a great writer. He writes for Outdoor Magazine. He wrote what Sports Illustrated called as one of the 10 greatest adventure books of all time, called Into Thin Air. I read the book. It was amazing. I sent it to a preacher this week who never read it. Into Thin Air talks about the climbing of Mount Everest and the second deadliest day in the history of the mountain in May of 1996. I did not know until I ended up reading three different books about that one event. I knew when you climbed, you'd have to get acclimated to the lack of oxygen. There's something called the death zone above a certain level where you only get 25% of the oxygen. Most people carry bottled oxygen, but they would get to base camp. They'd go up to camp one for a while and come back down. Go up to camp two for a while, come back down. Go up to camp three and stay there. And then they'd go up to camp four in the death zone. Only about 1,400 feet from the summit of Mount Everest, 29,000 feet high. And I thought, boy, if you're going to climb Mount Everest, you probably leave early in the morning, but you don't. You actually leave the night before, about 10 p.m. They have headlamps on. They have oxygen bottles. Why? Because to go that last 1,400 or 1,500 feet, get this now, to go the last 1,400 or 1,500 feet takes about 14 hours. They leave at 10 p.m. the night before with the goal of catching the summit at 12 noon. 12 noon's drop dead time, turnaround time. Because while it takes 14 hours to get up to the summit, it takes only 5 hours to get back down. But they have to get off the mountain. Because on Mount Everest, in the afternoons and evenings, the winds come up, often 70, 80, and 90 miles an hour. And they'll literally blow you right off the mountain. People have blown off into crevasses. They've never found them. 14 hours going up, 5 hours going down. I made a decision about 2 years ago that I would walk the stairs to my pastor's office. I go up there just about every... He's on the third floor. I used to take the elevator. You know what? It's harder walking up than it is coming down. When I get gravity working for me, I go down pretty quickly. It's work. Work for the night is coming. We see the first thing here is they were willing to go up the hill. I wonder, will you go up the hill with your pastor? The Bible uses a statement that says, whose faith follow? He may stretch your faith a little bit. I'll never forget what our pastor told me about building the Walford Center, 60,000 square feet, $10 million. My thought was, we can't afford that. Oh, did I just tell you it's paid for? $10.2 million. Pastor said, well, we can't, but if I do it, you'll follow me. I said, absolutely. And I'll give to it. My kids will never plan. My kids have all graduated from college. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? It's a little harder going up. You may lose your seat to a visitor where you always sit. It's your seat. It should have your name sewed on it. You know what I'm talking about. You come in someone's room, you go, what in the world? Don't you know I always sit there? No, they don't. They're new. I know. I sit in the same seat. I sit in the front row in our church. Sometimes people are sitting there. I'm going, what in the world? I've been there 19 years. What in the world? Going uphill is tiring. It'll cost you something. But if you're to go on to victory, you've got to set out for the top. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not save us to sit and stew. God saved us to stand and serve.
Amen.
How did you serve the Lord Jesus Christ this week? I had a friend text me this morning. He's 67. He's an evangelist. He said, you're too old for that. I thought of Dr. Weaver, our dean of students, who's doing this. He's 70. Every day, pack up. We've driven 9,500 miles since May. In a 15-passenger van with 250,000 miles on it. Not what one would call a vacation. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
You've got to, number one, set out for the top. Number two, look down a little ways, if you will. This is so interesting. He said, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. I could really illustrate this right now. Because this week, I was at the Hudson View Baptist Church. And we had something to eat after the service. I looked around, and there was a plastic chair there. And I usually stay away from those Walmart plastic chairs. And I could tell that this chair had been outside. It was weathered. I sat down on it, preacher, very carefully. Very carefully. Kind of held my breath. Now, a chair like this, man, I like that. I sit down, that baby's got some strength to it. But I sat down carefully in that chair. But then somebody asked me for, I don't know if they asked me for a key. Is that what it was, Steve, a key or something? I know I slid up on the chair to reach in my pocket to get that key out. And all my weight was on one leg of that plastic chair for a brief time. Because that's when that plastic chair exploded. I'm falling on the floor. I mean, there I am, the preacher, sprawled on the floor ignominiously. But fortunately, I had the support of these stalwart students who were laughing maniacally at me. I've had it happen before. Sometimes the legs are so, you're like kind of slick forward. They don't break, they just kind of slide out. It's like they're singing, I surrender all. So when someone says, I want to give you something to sit on, I want to look and see what it is. Can I ask you this? Are you giving pastor the support of a plastic chair or a stone? Are you giving the pastor the support of a cardboard box? I don't sit on those either. Or a stone. Now, can I say this? I could kick a box over to Steve and really easy. Just, boom, piece of cake. Kick that box over there. That's easy. And it's easy to hit the default setting of the easy thing. But Aaron and Hur brought him a stone. Now, stone big enough to sit on? That's a heavy stone. I don't think they went up there with a crane or a prop pole. I wonder if they had to dig it out with their bare hands and roll it over to him. But if you're going to go on to victory, you've got to set out some stones for people. Hey, I wonder who should be setting out stones by being in the choir. I don't know. By the way, it's not everybody. It's not me. If I were to be up here singing, you'd be running out of here like rats leaving a sinking ship. Pastor's got a great voice. I don't have that kind of voice. It could be worse. Dr. Shetler, Dr. Sisker, horrible. But I don't sing well. But you know what? Some of you do, and you're not in the choir. I was working this morning about 7 o'clock or so. I saw some people coming in. I saw Lizzie coming in. Get ready for the coffee thing. Get ready to go out in the bus. I was so proud of her. She always smiles at school. That's what I told her. I said, I remember your smile. Exactly what I said. She always smiles. You know what? She wasn't just smiling. She was serving.
Right.
Most Christians on Sunday morning, they're smiling. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But they're not serving.
Right.
I don't think we should all be on the bus, but some more people should. I don't think we should all be in the choir. I think we could use some extra ushers.
Amen.
Will you set out a stone? What are you doing to support the pastor? Hey, let me ask you a tough question. By the way, he's never heard this message. When was the last time you wrote the pastor an encouraging note? When was the last time you walked up and shook his hand and said, that message helped me? Support him. So we have to set out for the top. We have to set out some stones, but that's not all. It says also, look down a little bit further, if you will. The Bible says, but Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. They stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. When his hands were up, God blessed them for some reason. When his hands went down, the blessings came away. Sir, right there, come on up here. Right there. Yes, sir, you're the green. You look like a big, strong guy. I did pick pass for this. Would you hold my Bible for me for just a second here? I'm going to ask him, what's your name, sir?
Ryan.
Ryan, thank you for coming up and help me. This guy's got some forearms on him. Ryan, I'm going to give you a chance. Is that your wife you're sitting next to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you like to do something special for her?
Sure.
I'm going to give you a little task, and if you do this, what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to give you $20 to take her out for lunch.
Okay.
Are you excited about that? Very. Okay. Okay. I want you to hold this up. Put your hands under the podium. One hand on each side. And hold it straight up. Straight out. Just straight out. All the way. Just like elbow straight. Straight out like that. And I'm just going to ask you just to hold this here for 20 minutes. Now, you are getting paid $1 a minute. Now, straight up. Straight. Don't. There we go. Thank you. Very good. Now, Ryan's a big guy. I'm guessing, Ryan, you're about 6'5", about 270 pounds. Am I close?
Close.
Close. Okay. I always tell people, I'm 6'6", 200, none of your business pounds. That's a good answer. Okay, so there you go. There you go. But he's strong. He's got some big, he's lifted some weight in his life. And Ryan, I've got some great news for you. You've already got 30 seconds in. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Hold that up straight there. Right up there, a little higher. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. You've got to help me with my illustration. There you go. Just like that. There you go. Right there. Right on the line. Thank you. Don't hurt that mount either. That's very important. Now, Ryan's doing a good job here. But can I say this? It gets tiring when you do it by yourself. Ryan's a big, strong guy. He's closing it. Ooh, 50 seconds. You're almost the first minute. 1 minute down, 19 to go, lunch for mama. It's good. And we all know what it says in Proverbs 37:14. Happy wife, happy life. Okay, so if you're new here, that's not in the Bible. Okay, so now you see what's happening here. Ryan, you get a little bit tired?
A little bit.
A little bit. You know what? It's pretty comfortable here. Ryan's got a little sweat on his brow. And he's only been doing it for 2 minutes.
Okay.
How would you like to do it by yourself in a church for 11 years? And he's not. But he could use more help. Zach and Stephen, come up here for a second. I want you to come up here. One of you on each side of the podium. I want you to help Ryan hold this up. Okay? Come around here. All right, let's all three of us lift it up. Think you'd hold a little bit longer now? Yeah. You see, ladies and gentlemen, many hands make the burden light. Many hands make the burden light. They held up his hands. By the way, when you hold up someone's hands, you know what happens if you get this close to Ryan here? You might notice some personal odors. Remember, they were in the desert standing there in the sun all day long. You might see a little hair coming out of his ear. Maybe a little facial blemish. I didn't see those things, by the way. But you know what? You got to get close to hold up someone's arms. Thank you, guys. You can put that down. Steven, stay here. So thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. Give Ryan a hand. You did a good job, all right? Ryan, no $20, but come by the table. I'll give you a CD, okay? Now, if you're holding up someone's arms and I'm holding up Steven's hand, I got to get in close like this. I can't sit. Now, I'm close enough to touch him. You know, a lot of people are close like that in church. Yeah, I come. Or are you all in? You see, if I've been holding his hands, I gotta get. If I've been holding up all day, I'm gonna hold him like this for a while. I'm gonna hold him like this for a while. What in the world? Why am I doing all the work? Because you know what? Jesus said this. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He'll send forth laborers into the harvest." It's not labor to sit there. It's labor to get up and do something. But if I'm holding up Stephen's hands here, I might get a little tired. I'm going to brace it here for a while. It might be a little closer than I want to get to him. This wasn't his week for a shower, okay? Thank you. But what we see there, ladies and gentlemen, is we see a situation where someone's got to hold up hands. Somebody's got to get involved. So we have to set out for the top, first of all. We have to set out some stones, secondly. And thirdly, we need to stay up some hands. Can I ask you a question this morning? Whose hands did you help lift up this week? Who did you give an encouraging call to? Whose load did you help to lighten this week? Who was it? It could just be a kind note. Maybe buying somebody a coffee. Ladies, maybe taking a dessert by someone's house. Maybe, men, there's a shut-in. You went by to wash your car for her. That would be holding up hands. I wonder who's caring for the widows. I had a widow contact me this week from 2,000 miles away. So I need help with this in my house. I said, I'll be back in town in a few weeks. I'll help you. My wife, I said, who's your deacon? In our church, every deacon is assigned 3 widows. You're supposed to check with them every month, see if they need anything. Because the role of a deacon of the Bible is to wait on tables and help the widows. God wants His church to go on to victory. So we set out for the top. We set out some stones. We stay up some hands. And finally, we're done this morning. Look at this last verse. We're done. You've listened so well. I thank you for that. It says this, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Here it is. They stayed till the battle was won. They stayed till the battle was won. Will you stay? Will you keep on keeping on? Will you finish your course with joy? I don't know what your course is. I don't know how long my course is. But the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What an awesome thing to say. Maybe you say, well, I've done it for a long time. It's time for somebody else to take over. Show me that in the Bible. It's not there. I may not be able to do what I could do when I was 21 years old, but I can keep going. I can give it my all. Remember, friends, not saved to sit, but saved to serve. You say, show me that in the Bible. Are we to be like Jesus? Yes or no? Yes. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I like trying to encourage people, try to serve people. I enjoy doing that. I want to write notes. I want to call. I want to do things for them. We have a lot of people in our home. But can I say this? We all need to get involved. Because if we do that, and if we decide to stay till either the trumpet sounds or till the Lord calls us home, I believe there could be great victories here. The people are going to say, as the Bible says, we have not seen it on this account. What if people start talking about your church and say, man, they just keep growing? What's going on over there? Maybe we would know that a lot of people are getting involved. A lot of people get involved. It can't just be Pastor's wife, Brother Laird's wife. It can't be that way. The whole church has to get involved. You say, well, I just don't know about that. Trust me, read the book of Acts. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, who was thanking a list of people. In the last chapter of Romans, he goes through name after name after name who all helped. He talked about Phoebe. He says, she have oft succored or encouraged many, even my own self. He talked about Aquila and Priscilla next. And named dozens of names. No wonder the church was blessed. Because lots of people were helping the church to go on to victory. My question today, friends, will you help your church to go on to victory? This morning, I don't know most of you here today. I don't know your names. I don't know how long you've come or if this is your first time. I have no idea. Other than a few people. Obviously, I know Pastor's wife. We know Autumn. She's currently off parole. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. It's wonderful. I know a few of you, but I don't know a lot of you. Can I say this, friend? You can't help the church go on to victory until first you become a part of the church. That's a saved, baptized believer. Baptism won't get you to heaven, but it's the first step of obedience once we get saved. Do you know what the Bible says, that before we get saved, that even the plowing of the wicked is sin? The plowing of the wicked is sin. We can't do anything right till first we accept Christ as our Savior. If you don't know Him today, I hope today will be your day of salvation.
Amen.
Jesus said He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever will may come. The choice is yours. If you're a believer, today is the first day of the rest of your Christian life. Today could be the day when you say, with the Lord's help, I'm going to start doing my part to help my church to go on to victory. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray you bless now during this invitation time. I pray that you will be pleased with what is said and done. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I wonder how many here today would say, Dr. Rasmussen, I do know for sure, I'm absolutely positive, I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. If you'd say that, would you raise your hand in testimony today? Great sea of hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I can't look at every single person this morning. I wonder, is there anyone here today who would say, I'm not positive, I don't know for sure, I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I won't spend any more time on you than I did the last group that raised their hand. But if you don't know for sure, would you raise your hand right now? Yes, if I see your hand, young lady, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Would you look at me right now, young lady? In just a minute, I want you to come here and see my wife. And she's going to show you how you can know for sure. Would you like to do that? Just a minute. That's wonderful. Is there anyone else here who doesn't know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Anyone like that? Anybody at all who doesn't know for sure? The great majority of people here today know that for sure. I wonder how many here today would say, you know, Dr. Rasmussen, God spoke to my heart. And with God's help, I want to help my church to go on to victory. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe you don't know what you need to do, but I guarantee your pastor will help to give you direction. Pastor Chapel has made, Pastor Schwinder is the under-shepherd here. God has made Pastor Schwinder the under-shepherd of this church. I started to say, my pastor has told me things that I'm supposed to do. My pastor's name is Pastor Chapel. And God has placed him in my life to tell me to do certain things. And God has placed Pastor Swinder in your life to tell you to do certain things. Are you willing to ask him? How many here today would say, you know what, with God's help, I want to help my church to go on to victory, to set out for the top, to stay up some hands, to set out some stones. If God spoke to your heart, would you raise your hand this morning? Many, many hands raised. Thank you. Put your hands down. In just a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to challenge you to talk to the Lord about whatever it is He talked to you about. If you raised your hand this morning about helping your church go on to victory, I challenge you to come to the altar. You don't need to talk to me. It's not my business. But talk to God about whatever He talked to you about. Lord, please bless during this invitation time. I pray you'll work. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, will you stand your feet at this time, please?